All right, we're going to get started this morning and hand out a couple scriptures here. Romans 10:17 is going to be our main passage. And so, Brian Mitchell, if you'll get that for us, Romans 10:17. Then Romans 10:17, the second time, Kenny Rosas, if you'll get that. And then Psalms 127 and verse 1, Jacob Salas, if you'll get that, Psalms 127, 1. And then lastly, 1 Corinthians 14:15, Caleb Sawyer, if you'll get that, 1 Corinthians 14:15. Okay. Every now and then I revisit the concert ministry just to recalibrate principles and different things in place. I'll look at different aspects of the night, etc. But just got inspired. We've been using the concert ministry as a platform of evangelism for 50 plus years. And through this venue over the years, we have seen radical converts that get saved and then lock into our churches. They become faithful pillars in the church, or they get involved in ministry. Others become pastors and have been sent out. And so having those results, seeing radical converts, that is something we must contend for. And concerts, our expectation should be that concerts have a flow of visitors, that weekly we're seeing a flow of salvations and a flow of lasting fruit. So I want to look at concert converts this morning out of Romans 10, verse 17.
So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Okay, concert converts. Let's look firstly at music outreach. Using music as an outreach came about very early in our fellowship. It was Pastor Wayman Mitchell, our founding pastor. He went to California with some of his disciples. He had heard about what God was doing in California. Had heard it was, now we know later, it was the roots and beginning of the Jesus People movement. And so he went with those disciples, and there he witnessed, saw coffee houses that featured coffee and Jesus music. Testimonies were given. They were declaring an opportunity to receive Christ into their hearts. When he saw that, he said, this would work in Prescott. And so began the concert ministry here in our congregation and now all throughout our fellowship. That's what started The Door. Our first concert venue was called The Door. That's where we get the term door director. He was the director of the concert. Then we called it the arena. Then we called it the underground. And for years now we've had it called 180. And so some would say, looking at it, not understanding its history, not understanding the purpose of concert ministry, some could look at it and say, this is a dated outreach approach. It doesn't work anymore. Concerts, music, using this platform, it doesn't work like it did in 1970. We're not in 1970 anymore. And yet, throughout the United States, the live concert industry is a $20 billion annual industry. So don't tell me that it doesn't work, that people don't like to watch live music. A $20 billion a year annual industry. Spotify has 761 million subscribers. Apple Music has a documented 108 million paid subscribers. I think people still like music. I think people are still interested in music. I think people still enjoy music. Then Instagram and TikTok, they have revolutionized what's called house concerts, where artists promote themselves on these platforms, TikTok or Instagram, and turn their living rooms, backyards, barns, or literally any space into a live concert venue. Because this is something that people, they enjoy, they crave, they're looking for. So What's the difference? Let's think this through. Why was it working maybe so well in 1970, but I know it works well today. I know it works well. I've seen it work well in my experience as a disciple. I've seen it work well in New Mexico. I've seen it work well in New York. And I've seen it grow even in the last 6 years I've been here. But what's the difference? What Pastor Wayman saw and what he brought to Prescott all those years ago was converts were playing that music. Converts were the ones giving testimony. It was converts that were captivating their target audience. The term Jesus music, that's what stirred there in the early Jesus people movement. There really wasn't Christian labels, and there wasn't Christian. You wanted to hear Christian music, you went to the church and sang hymns. That's what Christian music was. But Jesus music and Jesus people music, it had a current and relevant sound to the generation. It had a current and relevant interest. Coffee houses had a come-as-you-are invitation vibe. Right? And that's what we still use today. It's not a church service, it's a concert. We try to, it's a relaxed atmosphere. Someone may struggle to come to a church service at first, but they'll come to a concert, they'll come to a play, they'll come to a special event. So what you're doing is you're creating this atmosphere, a come-as-you-are invitation. When you look at our history, it was the music group Eden, led by Ron Burrell, which many of you have now been able to meet, including myself. But when Ron Burrell got saved, it's not like then he decided to be a musician, or it was then he decided that he was going to do Jesus people music. Ron Burrell, pre-salvation, was already a musician, an aspiring artist. He was already playing gigs at concerts, secular ones, playing gigs at parks, anywhere that they could have expression. He had record deals. He was reaching already a young audience. Then they got saved. Then they got converted, and what they already were doing now got sanctified. God began to use it. Eden, that band, was our the band Love Song for Chuck Smith. And many of you would have seen on the Jesus Revolution in that movie is that band that's there at the church, the young hippies. That's what Eden was for us. Ron Burrell, Pastor Greg has said, was our Lonnie Frisbee. So all of this is swirling and happening. So that's what they were doing. It was converts. It was relevant to the time. It was the language and interest of the generation. So today, we have the ability now to target certain audiences. We can target a sound. We can target a certain vibe. We can utilize the current sounds to our advantage. So this is still a valid approach. The question you have to ask is what we're doing relevant to the listener? What, and so then you got to think, what is relevant to our desired audience? Anytime you're going to plan an event, you need to think, what is the target audience I want, and what are the goals I want to achieve in that event? How do I get those two to cross? So that's going to be happening in your advertisement, how you pull them in, how you draw them in. That's going to now determine what you do in that. And when you cross that, now you have people that are coming in. In our band years and years ago, our band was called Love Runs Red. We were a group of 16 to 20-year-olds. We had a sound that was attractive to young people. We could set up, and God so anointed us. We worked at it. We prayed for it. We contended for it. But we could set up almost anywhere, and people would come out. People would show up. People, that was God helping us, but there was also an element, we were playing what was attractive to young people. Then we had influences in our you know, music that gave us a reach to a wider audience. And then I remember Pastor Greg challenging us. You have an incredible sound. You're doing well, but you're narrow. You need to expand. And so we wrote a country song. We wrote, you know, we shifted from what we were doing, but we had this wide variety to where we could reach a wider audience. So this is something, music outreach, it still works. People who say it doesn't work, they don't understand it. They don't understand the purpose. And sometimes they're playing what nobody wants to listen to. Right? It's like, yeah, nobody's interested in that. You know, this is what you love. It's a very niche group. It's you and your band. You and five other people love this, you know. But in that, you can utilize it to your advantage. This is an incredible opportunity. And we can use different themes to draw different crowds. You know, and we've done that over the last couple of years, and it's working. So let's look secondly then at concert converts. So what made the biggest difference? Now let's think about the mechanics of a concert. What makes the biggest difference then, 1970, then, you know, in the early 2000s, my experience, what makes the difference is the content. The content of the music, the content of the testimonies, the content of the dramas and the videos. And what is the content? The content must be explicitly the gospel. That's what makes the difference. You have to give God room to step into the concert. You have to give the Holy Spirit room to step in to the concert. Romans 10:17.
So faith comes from hearing. That is hearing the good news about Christ.
Oh, I like that translation. That is hearing the good news about Christ. And that's what we need to do. In the 1970s and in my experience in the concert ministry as a disciple, it was unashamedly Jesus. It was unashamedly declaration of Jesus Christ, Christ incarnate, Christ crucified, Christ resurrected. And these converts were giving and speaking the message that they were saved by grace, and they wanted to boldly declare it. Whether it was in a song, they could clearly hear the gospel. You know, that was an approach we took in our band, was if someone came and heard one song, what do they want? What do we want them to leave knowing? We want them to leave knowing about Jesus. And every song was written. If we had one chance, one opportunity, what would we want to tell them? That drove our inspiration. What if someone came in, what is your testimony boldly declaring? What is that video boldly declaring? What is that drama boldly declaring? See, during this time in the 1970s, what Pastor Wayman saw in California and what he brought to Prescott, you've got to understand, it wasn't just a quote-unquote fellowship thing. It wasn't just the four-square church thing. Christian churches all across the USA were doing this. Christian church, what started in California and trickled, became a nationwide movement, but these coffee houses were springing up everywhere. This whole idea and platform was springing up everywhere, and it was converts that were winning converts. Converts that were preaching Jesus. And those, again, that were involved were openly Christian and openly direct about how Jesus Christ saved them, about how Jesus Christ changed them. So, in that message now, the language of the music, the testimonies, and the preaching, the whole point now is that it was making a connection with that listener, making a connection with that person that walks in the doors. It was connecting with their lives. But getting that connection, right? Again, you do your part boldly and unashamedly, the gospel, and you give God room to move. You cultivate now a Holy Ghost dimension. You create an atmosphere where people can feel the conviction of the Holy Ghost, where people can feel the tug of the Holy Spirit drawing them to salvation, where people can respond to the gospel. You know, I got inspired by this while being up in the Northeast. I was sitting with Pastor Paul and Linda Campbell. They're the leaders there in Cape Cod, oversee the area. But I just began to ask them about how they got saved again, and just reminding myself of their history in conversation. And Pastor Paul Campbell, you know, Paul and Linda, they're from Long Island, New York. How they wound up in Tucson, Arizona was on an impulse decision. You know, it was just totally all the way across the U.S. And, you know, their marriage was on the verge of divorce. They were, you know, not surviving. They were living the musician lifestyle, you know, taking up gigs. Linda said, I'd drop off my daughter, Lori, at my in-law's house, and we would, you know, play till 2 a.m. and then go and eat at a diner at 3 a.m. and get home at 4 a.m., go to sleep, wake up, and do it all over again. Just this radical life. So they wind up in Tucson, Arizona. Paul begins to do the same thing he was doing in New York. You know, he's with the Musicians Union, and immediately he's connecting with bands and playing gigs throughout Tucson and the Phoenix area. But nothing was getting resolved. Nothing was getting fixed. And 2 weeks before their divorce became finalized, Paul Campbell got converted. He got saved at a concert. He, as a musician, loved the music. Then he said, when someone stood up and began to testify of what Jesus did in their lives, of how Jesus saved them and delivered them, he said the Holy Spirit came upon him and he was ready to get saved. God just came upon him and he got saved that night. So then he goes immediately to visit his daughter Lori. They're separated at the time, Linda and Paul. And he goes and he says, Linda, she said something was different about him. I could see it. He wasn't drunk. He wasn't high. When he came by, there was just something different. He said, I got saved. And Linda said, saved from what? Right? And he begins to witness to her. And she said, it was such a difference. It was such a radical transformation. He invited me to go to church. And they were in revival with Ron Burrell. So she goes to this church service, because she's seeing Paul so dramatically saved. Ron Burrell's there. She said he played a cover by the Beatles. And she said, I was offended as a musician. She said, who does this creep think he is? Singing a song of the Beatles and putting Jesus words to it. Right? So here she's fighting it. She goes, I went from that to by the end of the night and the preaching, I'm weeping at the altar, giving my life to Jesus Christ. Then they got involved in the concert ministry. Then they started a band. Then now they're ministering and preaching Jesus. Eventually got sent out to pastor and have been now in the Cape for 40 years preaching Jesus Christ. And what triggered all of it? A concert. A concert. That's what triggered all of it. That's what unlocked it. See, this is something we need. We need this atmosphere. We need this dimension. What we're doing is not just Christian entertainment. There's so much more. And again, I want to touch on this. We revisit it from time to time. But we need a supernatural dimension on every part of the night. Whether it's a song, whether it's a video, whether it's a drama, whether it's a testimony, that God would take it further than what we're doing. Let's read Psalms 127:1.
Unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards a city, the watchman says, stays awake in vain.
Okay, unless the Lord build the house. Another translation says, the work of the builders is wasted. You can work and work and labor and labor and evangelize and witness and do special events and invest and give away. But unless God's building, all that work, it's wasted. So that's what we need, is that Holy Ghost dimension. So let's close. Let's look at contending for converts. This is something we need to contend for. To contend simply means to focus. That I'm going to focus my prayers. That I'm going to focus on my what I'm expecting, my expectations. That I'm going to focus in my warfare. What is the warfare? Evangelism, giving, fasting. Right? It's not the answer to complain to people or God. To complain, it's the bands, it's the preachers, it's the testament, it's the drama team, it's the... That's not the answer. The answer is not to criticize or blame. You know, I remember as before I got involved, before I got saved, just criticizing the concert, criticizing the bands, criticizing every... That's not the answer. Or blame. Pastor Greg would often ask us when we weren't seeing the results that we were contending for, he'd say, and so what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do to change it? Maybe change the culture, maybe change the atmosphere, change the spiritual dimension. What are you going to do to change the content that's coming across that platform? What are you going to do to change the lack of visitors? What are you going to do to change the response? What are you going to do to change different aspects of it? We have to contend for it. And in contending for it, that means every weekend has to be viewed as its own battle. Every weekend has its own unique spiritual warfare, has its own dynamics. We can't be passive based on last week. Yeah, last week we had, last week we saw. Yeah, that was last week. Now we're this week. And this week, I just want to say and commend, we had a wonderful concert last night. I felt the anointing, the Holy Ghost on it last night. It was pleasing, every aspect of it, to see and hear the testimony, man. It was just all of it encompassed together. There was a dimension, but you know what? We can't just live on that. We're going to have to contend for this Saturday. We're going to have to contend for what we're going to see. It can't be passive based on that. It can't be passive based on 50 years ago. It's an ongoing battle. It's ongoing warfare. Hell resists our dominion and our favor. So part of that means that you are going to contend. You are going to have to make some decisions. You are going to have to decide. Right? Morning evangelism, that's a step of battle and warfare. You're going to have to contend in that prayer room. Right? We have the prayer slides every weekend. Now, I don't know how many people actually notice it, right? Because it becomes part of the decor. Revisit that. Get involved in prayer. Prayer is an act of faith. Prayer is a fight. Prayer drives the enemy back. You're pushing for more territory. So, gentlemen, if you are going to see a change, then you have to be part of carrying the banner of prayer. You have to be part of carrying the banner of evangelism, right? And in contending, I'm not, you know, saying it's got to be a ridiculous volume issue. God's not deaf, but you know, prayer is audible. Prayer is vocalized. Prayer is speaking things into existence. Let's read 1 Corinthians 14, 15.
What am I to do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will pray with my mind also. I will sing praise with my spirit, but I will sing with my mind also.
This is about contending. We pray in the Holy Ghost, and we pray in words we understand. You got to have both. And so contending, God, we are contending for, I am believing for, I am expecting based on His word. So it should be the normal that the Holy Ghost falls on our concerts and gets a hold of unsaved hearts. That should be the normal. When people walk in, man, God just begins to tug on their hearts, draw them with cords of love to salvation. It should be normal that they not only respond, but that people come back. It should be normal that not only do they come back, that people lock in. So it should be normal that not only do they lock in, but they themselves get involved. That is the normal. Of course, that is what has kept this going for 50 years, and it's something to contend for. Okay, let's open it up for questions. Something you want to ask about this topic, concert converts. Yeah, Pastor Steve.
Should a pioneer pastor, should they want concert ministry in their church at the early stages? And if they have no musical ability, how do they do that?
Yeah, so it won't, yeah, so that's a great question. Yes, they should eventually incorporate it. And we'll talk more in future, lessons on the purpose of the concert ministry and the development of disciples and the involvement of people. You give people purpose. They have an opportunity. They're part of world evangelism. They're part of local evangelism. So, yes, you should incorporate it, but how it looks is going to vary. Pastor Matt Sanderlin, they've been open, in their building and getting some traction. So he had a concert. He's had a couple now, but he's getting bands in from neighboring churches, right? And that's how you would do it. What can we do? That's what you have to ask. What can we do for a concert? And then who can we invite to offset our lack? But then you're getting your church involved. He had his converts helping set up, helping tear down, helping greet visitors that were coming in while that guest band could play and minister. So it was, yeah. So now, is it going to be every weekend? No, because you're just getting started. It may be once a month or once every other month, but you begin to get it in a rhythm. Yeah. And so, as the best you can, what can we do well and who can we invite in? Yeah. Good.
What's the value? You mentioned, Pastor Greg saying, seeing the concert scene and then not seeing the results that you want, and then he said, what are we going to do about it? What's the balance of doing more to make, is it doing more or maybe changing something that we're doing and just making it better?
Yeah, great. That's a great question, and you have to analyze. So let's look what's working, what's not working. Maybe in a win. What worked so well last night? Sometimes we take the win and we never think about it. And then we get a loss and we never think about it. So, I don't know, So you analyze. And so in analyzing, yeah, it may be we can fine tune something. It may be something needs to be revisited. It may be, we just haven't been inviting God into this. No one's praying. No one's contending. Right? Or whatever that looks like, you analyze so you find solutions. Then pray. Pray for wisdom. God, show us what is hindering. Show us what is blocking. Show us what we can work on, right? Advertisement goes a long way. You advertise an event, and well in advance, that's going to help you, right? So all the different dynamics you have to analyze in order to find the answer. And then it may be, in a sense, you're saying do more, but not just do more for the sake of doing more with faith that God's going to move. So when he would ask us, what are you going to do about it? Well, sometimes what I did about it, I gave a bigger offering. God, I'm contending. You're going to use our band, or you're going to use me when I preach in the concert, or we'd evangelize. You know what? Whether we pray with anyone or not, God, honor and bless this. Because I'm looking for dominion in the concert. We would go street preaching. We would go and pray, lay hands on the doors, lay hands on the chairs, lay hands on the altar, lay hands on the whatever's there, the instrument, the screens, things that are there. Lay hands on the soundboard, just contending for anointing in every aspect. We'd walk around the building, anything. Just, it was more about faith. It wasn't just this is the remedy. No, we're engaging the enemy and we're trusting God. God, you are going to help us. We're trusting you. Because if you don't, right? Psalms 127, if you don't build this, we're just spinning our wheels. We need your help. Yeah. So you analyze.
Thank you.
Good. Yeah, Kenny.
Do you have any tips on analyzing? Because I'm sure you're better at it now than when you were a disciple.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what do you look for? Like, I guess, right? What do you look for? Because in my mind, I'm like, I can analyze everything and, like, come up with the wrong things, you know?
Well, I think the more to the point is that, you know, when you raise your awareness by a natural default, you're going to recognize certain things, right? So it's like, you know, you begin to analyze what didn't work. Well, you know, the sound man probably shouldn't have been solo yet. He's still learning, right? Things were missed. That's a natural, right? That's in the natural. We can fix that, you know. You're always analyzing and critiquing. Last night's the first band, Kairos, from when they debuted to last night, night and day difference. Totally huge step in increase. But you know what? As an analyzer, I spoke with the band leader and I gave him some pointers. Said, these are some things you need to work on. This is what I saw. You sandwich it. Good job. This is it. Keep going, right? And but night and day difference. You know, and for the better, there was anointing on the group. And that's also something. Is there anointing? Is the Spirit of God here? If it's not, again, we're just not going to make it. We're not going to cut it because we can't make people get saved. So you're asking questions, Kenny. That's the biggest thing. And as you ask questions, you got to write down what are our wins and what are our losses and how do we fix it? That's really the biggest question. What should we do to fix it? What needs to change or be implemented, etc.? Yep. And it's a living organism, right? In essence, we're doing the same thing we've done 50 years ago, but it looks very different, right? It sounds very different. And it in so many different ways, it's different. In its essence, music's the focus. And music's the outreach. Yeah. Good.
So you mentioned you talked to the band members about, or the leader of the band, and you know, after you analyzed them, told him what he could change or improve on or whatever. Well, what's the balance of you off? Like, you seeing something and addressing it, or just waiting for them to come to you and then sharing your input? Like, when do you do one versus
the other? Yeah. You got to identify what's tolerable and what's lethal, right? So with different things, sometimes, Ben, you'll hamstring yourself, right? So you got to work out what's tolerable and lethal. So I didn't step in and say, you need to do this. You know, it's just, hey, I have a question. Did you notice? You know, are you recognizing? You know, I want to encourage you. It would be your responsibility as the band leader, you know, however that conversation looked, right? It should be inspiring. Then, you know, versus if it's something that I need to wait for them to ask, I do leave a lot of room for that, right? I leave a lot of room for growth. I leave a lot of room for them to develop, right? I leave a lot of room for them to continue. So me stepping in and just through asking questions and helping them recognize some things is different than, you can't play until I hear you again and approve it, right? That's two different things there. I'm allowing them room to grow. I'm allowing them room to develop because I'm trying to not hamstring the entire concert, right? There's a lot of people investing a lot into it and we can hamstring ourselves. So you got to identify that. There's nothing wrong with setting expectations, right? These are the expectations. Yeah. Good. Yeah, Scott.
Pastor, what's a good way to keep in check of what's relevant?
Good. Very good question. And I loved, I'm trying to remember who said this, Skylar, but what keeps concerts fresh is converts because they know what's relevant, right? As they're coming in real time out of sin, right? They're coming in out of, you know, exposure to what the world's values are right now. They're coming in knowing what's current, or we would say trending, right? So yeah, sometimes you get down the road a little bit in your salvation and it's like your view and perspective of trendy stopped when you got saved, right? So now you get down the road, it's like, no, this is really awesome. Well, you know, that was 30 years ago. So, yeah, you know, I look back, it's like, man, like 20 years ago, I was in the concert ministry as a young person. That's a long time ago. That's weird. That's really weird. So what I think is trendy, or what I'm interested in, is not the same, right? And my kids let me know about it. So, but yeah, converts will let you know what's fresh. That's why we need a constant flow. Great question. Yeah.
Pastor Jesse, so for when you're incorporating converts into the concert, whether it be like musically, for instance, and they have a music background and that's their passion, is there a way to navigate that as far as like, you know, the transition time? Like you start off with testimony, you build it into it, or, because sometimes it could be, it might not work, it might be, might take them out or, you know, hurt, you know what I mean? Like, how do you navigate that, like, as far as incorporating them into like a ministry?
With converts, yeah. You're saying like in a pioneer setting?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there's, it's not set fully, so there is some flexibility, right? So if someone wants to get involved, though, like public versus service, that's what you got to look at. Public versus service. Any convert can testify. If there's signs and evidence of salvation, they've been saved a week, get them up there. I got saved last week. Jesus changed my life, right? That's exciting, you know, because there's signs of life. There's evidence of salvation, right? You don't want to get some random person to testify. You don't know what they're about, right? But when you know they've been radically changed and it's evident, get them in there. That's service. Set up, tear down. That's service. But you want to be involved, right? Then, yeah, you know, Pastor Matt had asked me about that. And he's working with people, right? Getting some breakthrough. You know, one of his guys that he's really been working with, when he showed him the vows of exampleship, he was like, absolutely, right? If I remember right, I might be conflating two stories, but I think he said, is that all? That's all I have to, dude, I'm in, right? And he's been fruitful on the college. He's been running Bible studies. He helped with the concert that they had, one of them, you know, all these different things. So there, when you give people something to rise to, they'll rise to it, right? Too often, I don't want to disrupt with it. I don't want to. No, if you give them something to rise to, they will. So yeah, but you got to look at what's service ministry versus what is public ministry, just like we do here. Yep. And if you'll bake that into your foundations of your church, that's much better. I think I didn't say it. Pastor Greg says it's easier to hire than it is to fire. So. You wanna make sure you're setting a standard early on. Yeah. Yep. Good. Good, good. Thinking. Yes.
So when you're thinking of like the audience, right, like what you're gonna do for that night or whatever, you know, what's the balance of thinking of like the church? Because the church is obviously gonna be your biggest support at the concert, right? Like from the church.
Yeah.
And then you obviously have the visitors that are gonna come in. So when you're trying to put something together, are you keeping both things in mind, or you're just trusting that the people are gonna be, you know, the aim is the converse, so that's what we should be really focused on.
Yeah.
Like presentation-wise, what's the balance?
Well, yeah, it's outreach, not inreach, right? So with outreach, and I'm not sure if I'm understanding every part of your question, but, you know, when we use what's going to draw visitors in. And by doing that, it may not be my preference, but if it's going to draw visitors in, let's give it a shot. Let's roll with it, because it's not about my preference or anyone else's, right? In the church, we're doing it to outreach. We want to reach out into our community. So however that looks, you know, different events, that's why we try a wide range of things, right? Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet. You cast it out and then you pull it up and you get all kinds of different fish, all kinds of different you know, creatures that, but you're trying everything. That's what we are as a dragnet. So we try family fun events. We try, you know, more extreme young people events. We try theme nights that, you know, draw in a different range of visitors. And so, yeah, you try whatever, but it's all about what can we do to get people in. Pastor Wayman Mitchell used to say and teach, either go to where a crowd already exists or create a crowd. And that's what we're doing, especially in our concert. We're trying to create a crowd. Yeah. But when people are getting saved, Ben, the church gets on board. That's what gets highlighted. You know, I didn't care for the night, but man, did you see the altar? Right? That's the focus. I didn't prefer the music. Pastor Wayman used to say to me, you know, the angry musician. Why? Because our music had a harder edge, right? So for him, he didn't prefer it, but he liked what he saw. Yeah. So, good. Yeah, Sam.
Do you think there was a time where relevance was kind of a, I don't know, like a, maybe it was a challenge due to the like religious world insanity? Like there's, you know, the really religious world is doing everything they can to be relevant, standards and right. Was that like how did we bring a balance to that? It seemed like relevance was kind of a shunned word.
Sure. At one point. No, I understand. Yeah, and you're absolutely right, because it's out of balance where you get rid of principles, right? So I personally, you know, worked with a guy that was the worship leader at another church, and he smoked pot, right? We're, you know, delivering pizzas as making some side cash. He's smoking pot in the back. He's a womanizer, different girl on his arm every other week, you know. And here he is, the worship leader. But can I tell you, could he sing? Absolutely. Could he play? I mean, sometimes he'd sit and I'd be like you feel like you're in the presence of a professional. But they've got rid of the principles. He's not saved, right? He's really good at what he does, but he's not saved. Yeah. He could sing a worship song that just was like, man, that sounds so good, but it was so wrong at the same time, right? Because he wasn't saved. So with that, you know, it, for the sake of relevance, they view it as a job. That's incorrect. They view it to keep him. Hey, but we have this great worship leader. Yeah, but we have this many people. Yeah, but we have, but they're not saved. And you'll be accountable for that. But in what we're talking about, the balance, that's why we have the vows of exampleship. That's what keeps the tension. I'm going to live a higher standard of life and lifestyle for the sake of maintaining the spiritual climate of the church and promote discipleship. It's in our vows of exampleship. That's why we do it. And so that's what pulls tension where we can stay relevant. Right now, our young bands are very relevant with the vibey culture that's happening right now, right? Forrest Frank just dropped an album, super vibey. But Kairos is doing that. California Stop is doing that. These bands are in line right now with that vibe that's so trendy. And that's that. They've been doing it for a couple years now, right? So they're tracking with it. That's what young people do. You look back at ours, we were compared to current bands at the time, right? But we were writing our own stuff. But there we were, right in line with what's current and relevant. So that's how it works out. But what keeps the balance there is the vows of exampleship that pulls attention so we can have both relevance with spiritual purity or righteousness, etc. Yeah, morality. Yeah. Good. Yeah, Kenny.
So when you do analyze things and you implement them in the next concert or whatever, how do you protect yourself, or is this even a thing where you become too formula oriented?
Mm-hmm.
So it could, yeah, I guess.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And yeah, sometimes we look at it, do we go for professionalism and excellence? I'd like to use that word better. Do we go for excellence or do we go for spiritual, right? Sometimes you can fall off one side of the donkey or the other. I want it to be so professional and excellent that I forget about God. I discount the Holy Spirit. Or, no, God's going to help. God's going to give us what we need. God's gonna, and there's no excellence or professional aspect. No, we can have both. And we should strive for both. So that's what keeps us, you know, again, I'm analyzing, what can we do? This is the old saying, the old quote, work like it all depends on you. Pray like it all depends on God. That's the balance. So we can have both. We can have both. And our facility is state of the art. There's nothing else like it in Prescott, Arizona. Right? Walk into Finley Toyota. Right? Their screens are dated. Their sound is dated. Their lights are dated. Right? But what we have is relevant. What we have is state of the art. What we have is current. Now, is our confidence in those things? No. Our confidence is in the gospel. Our confidence is in what I talked about, that content, right? People aren't going to get saved because they go, look at that huge screen. What must I do to be saved? No, they're going to get saved because someone boldly declares Jesus, right? So all of that plays in. But we utilize it because we want a professional atmosphere. We want an excellent sound and lights and screens and everything together. Man, it is really evolved and developed. It's really, really cool to see. We have a very good production value. And but that's not our confidence. So we work like it all depends on us, but we gotta pray like it all depends on God. Good. Good question. Yeah,
I was just, so what helps in analyzing on real time? Like, is it a high awareness experience or?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think as you just get in the habit of it, as you get in the practice of it, right? There are things that I'm constantly aware of, and I'm not trying. I'm just in the habit of it, right? And I'm also not nitpicking or straining at gnats, right? There's so much I overlook. There's so much that I could see could be better. There's so much, but that's not the point, right? So I look, again, what's tolerable, what's lethal? All right, I should address that now, right? Or they come, as Ben asked, they'll come and ask, okay, now I can speak to it. So, but when you are in the habit of that awareness of analyzing and critiquing. Great quote. Let me see if I don't butcher it. Criticism. Okay. I'm going to look it up. But anyway, because I'm going to butcher it. But you can really turn the ship of something when you are analyzing. I'm going to look at it. I have it right here. Okay. So number one, your criticism should be as equally as important as your praise. But we need both at work because that is super important. Where is that? It's such a good quote. This is terrible. Anyway, I think it's in this other one here. Sorry, I have too many notes of great quotes. Okay, praise is affirmation, criticism is investment. So that's super helpful, right? So you can affirm what someone is doing. You give them praise, and I did, right? So to Ben's question, right, that band did fantastic, night and day difference. Total level. You know what I did? I went to every band member and said, incredible work. You are doing fantastic. And you know what was the best part? It was anointed. You know what? That's encouraging. That inspires. So that praise is an affirmation. But what did I do? I made them an investment. Criticism is an investment. So again, it's got to be constructive, right? You can be, we sometimes associate criticism with only negatives. I gave constructive help as an investment, which paid off. And that's very important. I try to teach men that. So as you are in the habit of it, IL, you begin to see it. When you know your expectations, in a concert, in a church service, in outreach, in evangelism, in advertisement, when you know your expectations, there's nothing wrong with helping people rise to that. In fact, it's important, right? And it'll only help you. So yeah, you get in the habit of it. Good. Yeah, one more, Micah.
When you talk about Pastor Max Underland talking about the belt of discipleship, was that specifically like concert ministry, or was it just because he was like a disciple rising up?
Well, yeah, a disciple rising up and wanting to be involved in that public arena. So yeah, absolutely. So yeah, he's got, ranging between 15 to 25 people that he's working with. This thing is taking off, right? It's growing. So rather than put a guy, in a public position and then later say, oh, by the way, 6 months later, because now you've jumped to what, 50 people? So by the way, now you need to fill this out. That's not going to work. Do it as early as possible. But again, he's working with him. He's discipling him. He's training him. So he's pouring and imparting who he is, right? When you view vows of exampleship as just rules, you will never be able to implement them, because that's not what they are. They are vows for exampleship. That's the term itself is so powerful, because I'm going to rise to a standard of living in order to be an example. That's the whole concept. It's about how you're going to influence and impact the people around you, future converts. It's about how you're going to impact and influence maybe the ministry that you are involved in, right? So very, very important to set that as early as possible rather than an, oh, by the way. Just like it's very important to get your converts baptized, to get them filled with the Holy Ghost, rather than an, oh, by the way, did you know we speak in tongues here? Right? I've been here a year. I didn't know you do that. Right? That's not okay. Again, it's got to be in you. Yeah. Good. Very good. Awesome. We'll stop right there, guys. Good questions.